The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Wow, what a sensible opening to the podcast. Because we have comedy here, and we only like the sensible kind. And also, we feature many sensible reviews of products.
Everything's logical, cogent, coherent.
No absurdity from the reviews from Amazon.
Measured.
Google, Target, IMDb, Yelp, Rotten Tomatoes, Unrotten Tomatoes. Pixarfan.gov. Some good ones on there.
Mm-hmm.
That one's just for Pixar fans that work for the government. And they kind of leave really heated reviews. It's really crazy on there. Which is why we bring them to the podcast. Actually, it's not crazy. It's illogical. That's right. I forgot the bit.
That's all right. The bit of the show is we read the internet reviews. Did you not... Mm. That's what it is.
We read them, clear. And then we're funny, but in a logical sort of way after. This review is going to go against everything we just said. I have a review. I was going to bring it as sort of a pairing a few weeks ago to another review. That review was for some pre-cooked ravioli. This review is from IMDb for the TV series Ravioli, which is a German TV series.
Okay. About
I won't explain. I'll let the princess of the universe, the underscore princess underscore of underscore the underscore universe, wrote this review on September 29th, 2003 on the website imdb.com. They titled it Best German Show Ever. They write, "This show is hilarious. After their parents go on a vacation, the children buy tons of ravioli. Then the real fun starts. The youngest kid is the coolest. He tricks the sausage guy into giving him free sausage. Then he floods the bathroom and pretends he is a whale. The youngest girl has a calculator fetish and sleeps with him in her bed. The oldest son likes to sneak under the neighbor's house to write. At one point, he falls in love with a Japanese girl, but when she makes them sushi, they all get sick because they don't like raw fish. Parentheses, boo-hoo. I recommend this show to anyone who doesn't speak German." No stars. Pre-star review.
Pre-stars. I don't know. That is sort of all over the place. There are certain things that I like. There are certain things that I certainly do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thinly veiled otherism of they don't like sushi.
Yeah.
We are Germans. We don't eat raw fish.
This is from the 80s. This is a weird German show from the 80s.
Okay. I forgive it of everything then.
I am glad Germany. That the princess of the universe added the parenthetical boo-hoo as though...
Yeah.
You know, pointing out, hey.
We all know.
We all know.
Don't cry about that. I think Germany was still kind of, they were finding themselves again. They went through a rough patch there for a while. The 80s, they were trying to decide who they were.
Right. there's a lot of interesting clothes, a lot of, you know, things that Saturday Night Live could make fun of there.
You go into any teenager's room, you're going to see all sorts of weird pillows and paint on the wall. Speaking of walls, Germany tried that for a while. It's just what teenagers do.
As an American boy, I always pictured or heard Germany as a place where you could just show the boobies on the TV.
Put that stuff up there.
Every channel's like HBO up in that up in that biz.
I think a lot of the world is a bit more relaxed about that sort of thing than we are.
That's true. I do, yeah. Dislike Americans' taboo-ness over nakedness because it made me embarrassed about my little naked body. My large little naked body. My little large little naked body.
Right, we need to be proud of things like our bodies.
And our sushi. Ravioli and sushi. Calculators.
That was like, these are children, and you're saying that the daughter has a fetish?
Words have dual meanings, but that one's charged.
It's got, yeah, yeah.
You know which one people think about when you say that?
Might be a bit much. But I really like the image of the boy sneaking under the neighbor's house to write.
To simply write. No
it
other.
It evokes memories of Frankenstein. And I'm not talking about the Frankenstein you know unless you actually read the book, like I know you did, where Frankenstein's like smart and speaks. And he hides in the side of the house, and that's how he learns how to speak. Or just listening to the family there. Good stuff.
That's good stuff.
That's all I got to say about that. Mary Shelley, she was probably on something, but she was on to something back when she was on, like,
you know, we never would have had 1984's German sitcom Ravioli if it wasn't for Mary Shelley and the good work she did at creating science fiction.
It's good stuff. As I said.
I think we can read this other review to,
okay,
I don't know, give more context or less context. I don't know where we're going to end up, but Clueless has a pretty good review as well. They wrote their review 3 years later in December 26, 2006, and they write, Einen Azume film. I love this movie. This was a lot of fun to watch, and everyone else I know has loved it. For the most part, everyone who has commented so far has gotten most of the summary okay. I'm just wondering if anyone else actually knows German and completely understood what was going on. I also feel sort of bad for those who do not understand German, did not know what was going on, and felt it was a bad show. I believe other Germans would agree with me. War ain't a guten Film. Guten Film. One thing is that the boy, who is a writer, by the way, entered a writing contest with one of the stories won and gave the prize to his parents, which was a health spa trip. Yes, the kids did not make the best choices, but that was part of what made it so fun to watch because we all know he would have done the same thing. I also don't think that the little girl had a fetish with calculators, but she was very smart and used the calculators to help her parents watch their money and even told the other children that they would only be able to afford raviolis with the money they had left. Everyone must admit the movie was at least funny. I am German, but I was raised to speak German and English, just so you know. It was a fantastic movie, especially for the kids that want to learn German and need some common ground to encourage them. Einen tollen Film. 10 stars out of 10 stars.
Hey, we got stars, baby. Now that brings so much context to everything. Thank you, our Duolingo friend.
Yeah, Clueless 1508. I might have missed their name.
Clue, you got a clue, friend. I don't want to be a kid in Germany, I guess. I'm split on whether or not I want to be a kid in Germany, because I don't want to have to, like, give
Haggle
my parents
for ravioli ingredients.
My prize. I don't want to have to balance the budget like the daughter does.
Who
but dang.
Was watching those Nickelodeon game shows as a kid and thinking, man, I want to give that Casio keyboard to my dad.
I'm going to give this dirt bike to my old man.
Who is watching really Legend of Hidden Temple? Like, I cannot wait to give this laser tag set to my grandpa.
They deserve it. They work hard.
No, I ain't climbing the Astro Crag for a trip to Disney World to give it away, all right? I'm going.
But really, is ravioli such a poor food? If my parents get my poor old man, my imaginary poor old man came home from a hard day's work and he says, all we can afford is ravioli. That's all we'll eat.
I'm like, I love it. Okay. It's got sausage in it?
This lasts
delicious.
Forever, yes.
Is there a Parmesan shaker we can sprinkle some on? I think maybe I'm good.
Maybe there's some cultural difference and ravioli is looked down upon in Germany. But
oh, do you know what, because broccoli, you know what the equivalent of broccoli is to Japanese children?
What?
Green peppers.
Okay.
Green pepper is the classic, like, oh, kids don't like
gross
that food. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
They're the Brussels sprouts, you might say.
Sure. So there's a chance it could be in Germany. Children, they shove away their plate of ravioli.
Right. Ravioli is like gruel to a German child.
Oh, no, Hans, you must eat all of your ravioli or you will get none.
You know how it is with Germans and sausage. They like the link. They're a link people. If it's unlinked, if it's minced and mashed and tucked in a dumpling, you know, maybe it's know. Just that's something the lower class would do.
As long as we're talking about food that we have questions about, I've got a couple of reviews here that were sent to me by dear friend Heidi of the podcast of me of culture and art. Heidi sent me some Walmart reviews for hot mustard flavored Doritos.
Ooh, I would try that.
Yeah, I would try that too. Good hot mustard, yes, please. I don't know how I feel about the mustard Skittles. If I see them in the wild, I may pick them up.
Stinking hunk of mustard. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stinking hunk of mustard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heidi took it upon herself to give me some conflicting reviews. So do we want the good or do we want the bad first?
I always like to start with the bad.
Alrighty. Here, I didn't even read the name. Here's a review from Upset72, who writes, chip bag inside packaging open and crushed. I'm sorry, they titled the review destroyed. I was just so anxious. One star.
To see what they had to say.
I don't even know if that was the one I don't think that was the one I was supposed to read. I'm probably supposed to read this one from Kyle. Kyle titles his review, absolutely disgusting. Don't waste your... I guess he's just going to let us fill in the blank.
Oh, my God. How? Don't waste your time, your money, your life.
Your life.
Your taste buds, your family. They'll all be gone when you eat these chips.
Kyle writes, at first the flavor is good, but the aftertaste, absolutely indescribable. Kind of tastes like when someone hits you in the back of the head and you get that tart, bitter taste in your mouth. 0 out of 10. Don't recommend purchasing. What? 1 star.
Well, if someone hits you in the back of the head and you start tasting weird things, go to the doctor, please.
Just go to the hospital, probably.
Go to the hospital. Do not take medical advice from this podcast or any other podcast, but please go to the freaking doctor if someone smacks you so hard you taste things. That, you know, and if it's blood... That's also a thing you shouldn't taste and you should go to the doctor.
If you've hit your head and you taste blood, you got that coppery taste.
Or fruit snacks and you haven't had a fruit snack in years, go to the doctor.
I got my bell rung a few times and I don't recall ever tasting things.
I don't know. That's a wild way to say you don't like chips. You ever get beat up? You ever get beat up? You ever get beat up so bad you start to hallucinate? That's kind of what these chips are like.
Yeah, I also appreciate it. He says, absolutely indescribable, and then proceeds to describe it.
Badly. I guess it's good he described it badly.
Yeah, if we agree, it'd be like, you're just a liar, though.
You haven't had hot mustard before? Is it totally unlike a hot mustard?
I don't know. Here is the flip side. This is a review from Florida 00 Native. They title their review, this needs to be permanent, 1,000% good. They write, if I had known that these were seasonal, I would have purchased 20 or 30 bags for my pantry. Now they are sold out and I can't find them anywhere. Cruel joke, Doritos. 5 stars.
What cruel and unusual fate has met this Florida native.
I've enjoyed some seasonal, limited time only items.
Mm-hmm.
20 or 30 bags? How do you have that much room? How big is your pantry?
I used to have a house with a big pantry, and I miss it. I'm a little pantry apartment
good
man
old
right now.
Walk-in pantry? Walk-in?
It was basically walk-in. It was step-in. You know what I mean?
Sure,
you could take a hearty step for sure.
A good old lean.
It was a lean-in pantry, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I would worry about them going stale, but I understand they wanted to stock up for years. But Doritos are just dusted tortilla, heavily seasoned tortilla chips, right?
Pretty much,
chips
yeah.
covered in flavor. corn tortilla chips, I think, specifically. Could you not get a plain corn tortilla chip and make self-manufacture a hot mustard flavor dust?
If you can't do that, you can at least dip it in a big old bowl of hot mustard.
Oh, that's the ticket.
Good dunk.
I mean, you could do the straight up hot mustard dunk, but I'm sure there's some sort of hot mustard. You Google right now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you, audience.
Take and shake it in like a
mustard.
I can't believe it's not butter thing, and you spritz it on your tortilla chips. You got to eat it fast before it gets soggy.
I got a hot mustard chip dip, yummy honey mustard dipping sauce, sour cream mustard dipping sauce, 5 easy mustard sauces, dips, and marinades. McDonald's hot mustard, make it at home. You know what I would do if there was a hot mustard chip I love that was taken away from me? I would make the homemade flour nachos that the one, you know, when they get it where they plump, they burst.
Ooh.
Those ones, I would make those and I would make a hot mustard, like some sort of a glaze dip, and I'd toss the hot chips in the hot mustard glaze.
Oh my goodness.
There you go, Florida. I just saved you.
Can you save me with another hot review?
I was just trying to think of a segue myself. Yeah. Let me hit you with this one. This one is a movie, but it's not from IMDb. It's from Amazon. Well, the movie, you know what I mean. The review's from Amazon. Chuck Norris, Forest Warrior.
What?
You know what? This isn't smut, but it might as well be. It's probably as devoid of intelligence. So let me send you the cover of Chuck Norris Forest Warrior, and you can describe what's going on.
Okay. So Chuck Norris Forest Warrior, where do we start? Sort of bleeding out of green forests itself, we have Chuck Norris wearing some cultural appropriation. I see furs and I see First Nations or Native garb of some sort hung around his shoulders. He's got some long hair, this Chuck, but the beard is well-trimmed, well-groomed.
The classic Chuck beard.
Classic Chuck beard. Behind him, over his shoulder, flies an eagle, probably bald, but the sun glare is so bright I can't tell. And there's a bear just peeping over his shoulder from its hind legs. It's like, Chuck, I don't know if you should go in there. And Chuck's like, don't worry, I'm the Forest Warrior.
It almost looks like to me a, excuse me, my bear said no pickles type insight pose here.
Yeah. Chuck is standing up for this bear, for the entire forest, I have to assume. And it says, it's going to take more than a miracle to save their mountain. And I guess Chuck is the thing that's going to do it.
Maybe. Let's let Pat tell us about it. They title their review Great Family Fun. They write, I enjoy this movie a lot. The kids are the real stars, and though protecting the environment is one of the lessons the movie tries to show, an even better storyline, our people are learning how to pick themselves up and not quit when life knocks them down. The father, played by Michael Beck, coming to realize what is really important. His failing and redemption was a major enjoyment for me in this movie. The kids caring for the mountain habitat is catching. And I thought the hijinks the kids used to stall for time against the bad developers was a riot. LOL! I didn't mind the fantasy, Chuck's warrior, parts at all. Everyone should be able to dream a little. 4 stars.
So I may have just pulled this up on IMDb myself and learned that Chuck is a shape-shifting mountain man.
Did I stumble upon some sort of shifter media on accident?
Yeah, I think so.
Some shifter smut minus the smut.
I'm sending this to you. It's just one of IMDb's approved images for this movie, and it looks like he might be maybe just post-transformation, because there's a glowing something on Chuck's chest there.
There's either sort of an Animorphs vibe, or is he a Force ghost? Is he Obi-Waning?
I don't know.
Petting that bear that child is holding?
for a moment, I thought this was just going to be like a ripoff. Ernest Goes to Camp, where Ernest and a bunch of ragtag kids have to stop an evil developer.
Yep, or Three Ninjas magic, too.
Yeah, the classic kids stopping capitalism movie. But if we've got shifters in this thing, that's a whole different story.
That's a whole new wrinkle, man. A whole new wrinkle.
Wow. Okay.
So we got, okay, what, let's lay down what we do know, what we're comfortable with. We got Chuck, all right? We know him. We love him. We were in middle school, and Chuck Norris jokes were funny. Yeah. You know, he's got a special place in our heart. He's a warrior of the forest. And he also has some sort of ethereal spirit form. But the children are our future, and they really are what's important. All right. I think that's what we need to focus in on. They're little hijinks. All right. To Pat, the mystical forest warrior, and Chuck Norris, the hunkiest hunk of all time, the hunkiest kung fu hunk since sliced bread, was nothing. To the kids and their hijinks to stop the bad developers.
These kids did it.
If I was a kid protecting the forest from bad developers, I think I would tie lots of logs up and then crush something big between them.
Yes, move. Ewok warfare.
Ewok warfare.
If it's good enough for a little bear person, it's good enough for me.
Put lots of logs behind a net thingy at the top of a hill. When they're at the bottom of the hill, you pull it.
Yes. I'm picturing myself infiltrating some sort of construction office and messing up some blueprints somehow.
So get on the computer, emailing the boss's wife some nasty material.
Yeah. And then, you know, insinuate that there's some sort of affair going on.
There's some sort of affair.
Just destroy the man.
Hello, secretary. Let's make love later. after work, when my wife will not suspect a thing. She's a dumb idiot. Send. now they have no leader.
That's how you bring them down.
That's just the beginning of the hijinks, really.
Then we get toilet paper involved. We get flying toilets. I'm thinking of Ernest Saves Camp again, but...
Have you ever seen the one, man, this makes me want to find out what it is and find some reviews for it, where it was a kid who was, like, obsessed with, like, RCs. He had, like, all kinds of, like, RC, like, helicopters.
That might
had,
like, just be called RC.
Is it just called RC? And he had, like, a Godzilla that he rigged up to shoot oil out that he, like, lit on fire. It was, like, Home Alone for kids like me. Nerd kids that were into action figures and Game Boys. That shit was cool. I want to rewatch that now. I'm lost in the Forest Warrior sauce. Should we take a break here?
Let's take a break.
Thank God.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click it. Shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, neighbors, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to Great Reviews in Celebrity History.
Wow. What? Even better than real history.
I think we're gonna have fun with this one. Because while not necessarily official reviews, quote unquote reviews, they are comments that were made by this person about a certain product/business. And I don't know, I think I saw something about it online somewhere. And then I was like, I'm going to steal that for my podcast. Because it's what we do.
It's what we do. Thanks for yoink. I
mean, that's what we do with every review, I guess, technically. Is we're stealing someone else's work.
We're just thieves in the night. Sort of bad boys without a care.
You wouldn't like this life. But you like this segment because I've got quote-unquote reviews for Kentucky Fried Chicken from Colonel Sanders.
Oh, really?
Apparently, after he sold the business, he was still like on the board of advisors and would routinely go around to restaurants to see if it was up to snuff.
Oh, this is not a cartoon. This is not the Colonel, the marketing entity, leaving reviews. This is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Colonel fucking Sanders.
Mr. 11 Secret Herbs and Spices, yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty remarkable that he did that. And he's got the 11 herbs and spices to make the chicken so great. But I guess what he really loved was his gravy.
He was a gravy guy.
There's a quote here that I've seen a couple places. The colonel says, "It'll make you throw away the darn chicken and just eat the gravy."
They do. And it has been, that's a common discussion in my family. You know, every family's got to get KFC. For family dinner sometimes. Parents can't be cooking every night. Sometimes KFC is going to make its way into the rote. And I think that's good. That's America. Okay.
Yes.
But the common joke was always, why do they always give us so much goddamn gravy? Why is it a 1-to-1 gravy to mashed potato ratio? Who is eating all this gravy? And come to realize that some people do eat all that gravy. I see gravy as a hearty condiment, somewhere between a condiment, a sauce,
an ointment to dry turkey or something.
Right. It's not an entree. It's an addition. It's an ingredient. You know, it's just with the gravy. But no, they see it as food. Ugh. Not even the biscuits and gravy, sausage gravy, just straight up. But yeah, they do give you a lot of gravy because there's lots of weirdos that really like gravy, and I guess Colonel Sanders was one of them.
Well, apparently he was very proud of his gravy, but after he sold the business, one change the company made was to make it simpler to reduce time and cost. They changed the recipe. I don't know if I'll be able to find the tab in the part of the article or whatever where the new owner said. He's an artist, but it takes too gosh darn long to make it his way.
So they were kind of homemaking the gravy. Not maybe full homemaking, but there's a lot more steps to the gravy situation before our time, huh?
Yeah. So before I get to the meat and potatoes of this, I'll just talk about how he would go to the restaurants. There's this... Courier Journal article I've got pulled up here. I don't know what courier or what journal, but this was around the time when KFC was doing the new Colonel Sanders commercials. So people are talking about how it's making a mockery of the Colonel. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like this at all. Apparently he cussed like a sailor and wasn't a nice guy. There is a man, Ray Perkins, was a teenager in the late 70s when Colonel Sanders, 3 or 4 times a year, Sanders would walk behind the counter, taste the gravy, sample the mashed potatoes and coleslaw, and chomp into a chicken leg. Quote, "I heard metal trays clattering, and I came around the corner and saw the colonel using his cane to push 8 trays of fried chicken onto the floor." He was cussing out our manager. The manager looked at us and said, "Shut up, don't say a thing, just wait until he leaves and we'll drop more chicken in the fryer." Apparently if it wasn't good, he would just tear the place up.
I imagine in his old age, you know, it probably wasn't as good as it should or could or was, but you know, he was probably just looking for something to be mad about. My man just wanted some attention.
Well, apparently it got so bad at one point, he sued for libel because he publicly, because of his public comments about one Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise and their gravy. And I have those comments.
This is the meat and potatoes, isn't it?
This is from the Courier Journal in 1975. It's just like an editorial about asking if chicken wing is white meat.
Mm-hmm.
And different people say, oh, well, yeah, I don't know. People are paying more to get white meat. And is the wing white meat? Blah, blah, blah. Eventually, the colonel weighs in and says, the wing's my favorite piece. Much juicier. But then he gets on a tear. And I'll just read verbatim.
This is a wing a white meat piece discussion. Rodeoed that into a discussion about bad gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, the author of this piece writes, and while he was on the subject of something Kentucky Fried Chicken should do differently, the colonel thought of a few other things. The stuff on the mashed potatoes, for instance. My God, that gravy is horrible. They buy tap water for 15 or 20 cents, 1,000 gallons, and then they mix it with flour and starch and end up with pure wallpaper paste. And I know wallpaper paste, by God, because I've seen my mother make it. To the wallpaper paste, they add some sludge and sell it for 65 or 75 cents a pint. There's no nutrition in it, and they ought not to be allowed to sell it. He followed that with another thought. The new crispy recipe is nothing in the world but a damn fried dough ball stuck on some chicken. elsewhere, of the gravy, he was quoted as saying, how do you serve this goddamn slop? With a straw?
He doesn't like it.
So he doesn't like it. He's going to let you know. And apparently these statements were what made one guy say, well, you can't say that. These are false statements. But apparently he got away with it. He was not guilty of libel.
He was just... The man can talk about gravy. If anyone's got a license to talk about gravy anyone he wants, I think it's the Colonel. I think it's absolutely. The Sandman.
Absolutely. He did try and open a restaurant called Claudia Sanders, the Colonel's Lady, where he served his style chicken. And then they got sued for that, and they had to just change the name to something else. And you can get the original recipe chicken still there today if you go down to Claudia Sanders' dinner house, as it's now known.
Do I really want to make a pilgrimage to taste how KFC used to taste?
Probably not.
Probably
but a
not.
Little bit.
Maybe if we're in the area, we'll have to check out some OG chicken.
But yeah, that's what Colonel Sanders was like.
I mean, I knew he was a bastard. That's some bastard stuff. It is kind of cool that he, you know, went on a sort of an... was summoned angelic fury to talk about gravy. I appreciate yeah. the passion. But I do like gravy. KFC gravy, and I've only experienced the new stuff, so maybe the old stuff is really banging. I had it at Popeye's the other day, which I do think in general is better than KFC.
Mm-hmm.
But their gravy sucks compared to KFC. Their gravy just tastes like refried beans. It's like they took the refried bean juice off and made it more gravy-like.
God. That's vile.
But the chicken's juicy. That hot chicken sandwich I have was juicing, my guy.
Oh, I could do some chicken.
All right, let's leave the chicken. You know, I've been thinking. Mm-hmm. We're going somewhere, and this is food related, but it needs a different introduction. There's something I used to do a lot that I started to think, I'm doing this too much. I need to cut back. And then I just totally forgot to do it for maybe months, maybe a year. I don't know when the last time we did this was.
I think I know where we're going.
I'm sure you know. We're taking a trip over to Japan to Yelp. We got some Yelp Japan for you. The Shake Shack. Shake Shack okay. Tokyo International Forum.
My eyes just popped. Okay.
This is in Chiyoda, the heart of Tokyo, as we know it and love it. And I got a review of this Shake Shack here from TCS, originally of Honolulu, Hawaii. They write, I heard about Shake Shack. I heard it was real good. I heard the fries were so-so, but the burgers were shit hot. I heard it was some New York City staple, like In-N-Out, but more refined. Like Five Guys, but more chic. Like McDonald's. Well, not really anything like McDonald's. So this spot is gorgeous. It's a beautiful store. It's right in front of the International Forum. We went there on a sunny October day, and we sat outside for 90 minutes. So the time for my spot in line, order and picking up the burgers was 20 minutes. They were bang on. I ordered a draft beer. I got that right away. When the burgers came out, we dug in. Not bad. Kind of like In-N-Out, but less greasy. The hot dog was actually more tasty than the burgers. The fries, forgettable. So, no reason to come back. Find yourself a down-to-earth Japanese burger spot. Black Cows in Ebisu, JS Burgers in Roppongi Hills, or Hamasu Burgers near Yokohama. Now those kids know how to do burgers. T. 2 stars.
Oh, what a review.
What a good review. Yelp Japan always got the bangers, dude.
Man.
Got some guys and gals that know how to write reviews touring around Japan.
And I can't say I disagree with anything that was expressed there. Oh, I had Shake Shack once, and I don't really remember it.
Just so, forgettable. Yeah, I think I've maybe had Shake Shack once, and yeah, I could not tell you shit about it.
I remember the hype. I remember like, ooh, I'm trying Shake Shack. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking the patties look thin.
Thin.
And
smashed.
I like a smash burger, but they didn't seem thin because they're smashed. They seem thin because they didn't give you much burger.
Because there's nothing there. but yeah, Japanese burger. Oh, it used to be at Mitsuwa. It's now a standalone location, 20 minutes south of me, Gabuto Burger. Mm. And I love it. Oh.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And that's a chain. I went to some burger joints, some mom and pops.
And I imagine they're like, it's magical.
Yeah, America's got good burgers. The best in the world, don't get me wrong. But there's something special about making a hamburger, a cheeseburger with the Japanese restaurant sensibilities. The sort of you get all the good parts of the burgers, the huge meaty bites, the crisp, wonderful vegetables, the perfectly toasted bun. But you know, it's going to be a little less greasy, a little less messy. A little more thoughtful, I think, is what I thought about Japanese burger joints. And yeah, after I read this review, at first I thought, oh, Shake Shack in Japan, that probably hits the spot. But after I read it, I was like, no, there's so much more.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, yeah, I remember being in China and like, should I go to McDonald's, get some fun Chinese McDonald's stuff? Like, I mean, I could. Or... I could at least even go just to like a Chinese fast food place. Mm. That Chinese fast food place logo is Bruce Lee. Why would I not want to go there?
That place looks pretty cool. And I do think you should venture if you go to a place that's very foreign to you and they have a fast food place you like or recognize, you should go because it is an interesting lens to look at your own. How does this place from your culture look in their culture? You know, It's a informative lens for sure. But yeah, if you really want, you know, you crave a burger because you haven't had home, you can probably find a mom and pop shop of some, you know, some family there that really likes burgers and want to share what they feel about it. And the thin ass fucking paper thin Shake Shack burgers ain't gonna cut it.
No.
Let me send you this picture. And I'm no hater of some, like, microwave melty cheese, but look at how mid that those cheese fries look, dude.
Oh, God. Nah, that does look like it's just a slice of cheese was placed atop it, and they put it under the heat lamps and let it just sort of settle into the grooves.
I will say the burgers look juicy.
I was just going to say, those burgers do look good. Pretty stacked. Pretty loaded. Cheese fries, yeah, those are forgettable.
And the vegetables do, that's like, I'm so picky about my vegetables on burgers, but if they looked like that every time, I'd be down.
Yeah, that looks like it looks on the picture when you order.
Yeah, but I think all that being said, T is right. T's right. There's even better. Just around the river bend. do you have something better just around the bend here?
I've got some food reviews. We might as well keep this this hungry train going.
I'm eating right after the show.
We are jumping back to the States, back to Tejas. Not back to Tejas. I guess we're jumping to San Antonio, Texas, because where else are you going to find the Texas Roadhouse?
This is the Texas Roadhouse.
I don't know. It's a Texas Roadhouse. It just tickles me that, I mean, I guess, why not?
Texas Roadhouse isn't like Culver's. It's like if someone made a copy of Culver's in another state, culturally appropriated Culver's and called it Wisconsin's Cheesy Burger Hut. That's sort of what Texas Roadhouse is.
It's a little weird.
And everyone dressed up like they lived in Wisconsin, as if people live in Wisconsin dress any differently from Texas, except that they wear a bigger coat part of the year. Anyway.
I got two reviews. We'll see if we do both. See how we just feel after this first one. It's shorter. This is a review. It's a Google review, if I didn't say, from Michaela Lira. Michaela writes, "I just ate a salad and a sweet potato. Of course, the delicious roll. My son ordered a hamburger and looked good. It came with fry. They put just a little bit. For the price, I would think they would fill up the plate. And another person ordered the ribs. They were a little bit dry, like overcooked. I know because I tasted them. 4 stars.
I mean, if it's a 4-star, sounds like she's had pretty overall a good time, but she just didn't know what to talk about in the review and had a little nitpick.
Yeah, yeah.
We do hate dry ribs on reviewparty.com, but...
hate them.
If they weren't inedible, I feel like the dry rib, it's such a thin line. Once you cross that precipice, it's not from good to okay. It's like from great to shitty. Your rib is good and not too dry, or way too dry and bad. There's not a lot of middle ground there. So if you could eat it, if you ate that rib and were just like, a little dry, I think that's still a good rib.
I think it is. Yeah. I think Michaela just didn't know what. Like, Google asked me to write a review, so I should say some things.
The yummy buns. But... that's what my takeaway. I do love a yummy bun from Texas Roadhouse.
They do have some good roll, but yeah, Michaela's just... I just had a salad. A sweet potato.
Had a little girl dinner.
One of those rolls. The ribs were overcooked. I know because I tasted them, okay?
Google! Believe me!
All right, I'll go for the other one. This is from Martha Gomez. Martha writes, "So the wait was still 3 hours for a table of 13. We even made a reservation. This is crazy to wait outside in the cold that long." All the other similar restaurants in the area were closing. We didn't get our food until 11:20 p.m. The food came out and everyone had to wait on our sides to come out. And we waited a long time. My medium well steak was too pink. My husband's medium rare was too cooked and dry. We would have switched, but ordered different types and sizes. Our server was really good. He kept up with our drinks. Oh, and you cannot throw peanut shells on the floor anymore. That made the place special. You can get your peanuts in a bag, but then what do you do with the shells? We just took the bag home. They don't even do the line dances anymore." Disappointed emoji. I don't know what that one is. It's kind of a meh emoji. Not sure this is a fave spot anymore since COVID hit. It has changed. I do love to hear them shout, "Corner!" as they come around a corner with a tray of food. We used to joke and do that at home.
What?
But overall, not happy with this visit, which costed over $300. Ugh. Snooze emoji, 3 stars.
I cannot relate to this fucking person. I
cannot relate. A table of 13 and it cost over $300? I hope so.
Yeah, obviously that many people at a restaurant, it's going to be some freaking money. You're not going to McDonald's, and even then that might be kind of expensive. That's food costs money when you eat it.
That's $23 a person.
I am not waiting 3 hours for any chain restaurant. Ever in my life. Ever. I'm not mad at the people at the restaurant. I'm just saying, 3 hours? Okay. Have a good night.
We'll go someplace else. Yep. Walk out the door. You hear that? We'll walk out the door.
If there's nowhere else we can eat, I would rather get a fucking pizza and pick up and eat it in the parking lot with my homies. Dang,
grocery store. Go to Walmart. Pick up a sandwich.
It's Texas Roadhouse. You don't need to wait 3 hours. They fucked up your reservation. Sorry. Because it's not a place that does reservations for 13.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the other thing that just made me... All the things she was sad they removed are all things I think are... I would have loved for them to remove pre-COVID.
Peanut shells.
I don't want that shit on the floor. Fucking give me a little basket, a little cup. I'll put the shells in it. I'm not a dirty little animal. And then they jokingly yell corner around home. That's not a joke. That's so they don't run into each other and break their bones at work.
Yeah, yeah. Carrying big old Texas-sized steaks.
Yeah, burning themselves, cutting themselves with the knives on the plates that are giant.
Mm-mm.
You think Texas Roadhouse is going to give your average waiter or waitress a nice, easy time getting workman's comp? No. They yell corner so they don't injure themselves. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. I've worked in restaurants. At Chipotle, if you carry a knife and you're going around a corner, you yell knife when you go around. You don't yell it. You say knife when you go around the corner. Smart. So no one gets stabbed.
Yeah, that's the behind, chef, behind.
Behind is very good.
Hot pan.
Yeah, you don't. That's something you just got to know. You know, in a restaurant space, you can get rid of some formalities in the name of safety, and then no one's feelings are hurt because that's the protocol.
Kind of like clapping for an ambulance or a fire truck when they go by. Ooh, look at that, honey. Isn't that fun? Ooh.
It is that vibe. It is that vibe. It's like, these people are not playing a game for you. They're not your little puppets to do your little line dances and your little fucking say the corner.
Oh, God. I forgot about the line dances. Good. Thank Jesus in heaven above that they're not doing that. I would die a little bit if that happened.
It's the type of thing where you go to a chain restaurant for your friend's birthday, and before you go in, they say, do not tell them it's my birthday.
No, I'm going to lose my appetite instantly if there's dancing. Waiter dancing.
Waiter.
Unless it's a place that does the, if it's like, this is the singing diner.
Right.
Where I'm playing Buddy Holly and she's playing Marilyn Monroe. And we do a little show.
If it's a part of the package that everyone's getting, you know, the waiters and waitresses, it's a part of their normal night. Hell yeah. But yeah, poor Danny has got to do his 27th line dance while table two is screaming about their A1 sauce. Like, I'm not going to do that to myself or anybody. Sounds great. I'm going to go to Texas Roadhouse. Sounds bitching now. Get some tasty buns with the apple cinnamon butter.
Yeah.
Honey butter. All right. I think we've earned ourselves an end of a podcast episode so we can go eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some leftover sesame chicken in the fridge. Ooh. I'm gonna microwave that up. But not before I follow and subscribe reviewparty.com wherever you're listening to this podcast. Because we got new episodes every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday. Reviews Day. Even if I forget to put it out overnight, we'll still get it out in the AM. Keep that morning promise. You know how it is.
You know.
If you'd like to send in an absurd review for us to make some funnies over, just like Heidi. Thank you, Heidi. Please send an email with a hyperlink to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name because we'll give you credit just like Heidi. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. If you want to like connect with us, maybe send us reviews. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Review Party Pod. Just find us there.
Find us.
Or on, am I supposed to call it Twitter still?
Oh, no, dude.
We're on that app, at Review Party Pod.
Have you been on that app? Have you seen the destruction they've wrought?
Yeah, it is just bizarre.
Porno site graphic design, dude. It's insane. Insane. Okay, yeah. Continue the plugs.
We've got a website that does not have site graphics design. It's called reviewparty.com.
Maybe if you have a confetti fetish.
Yeah, maybe. Or you just get turned on by the color blue or something. Johnny Five.
You can't go outside on a clear day, or you're just hanging mast all day.
ReviewParty.com.com. You can read the blog where we write about reviews in some way, shape, or form. You can find every episode in every single listening platform. Maybe some of them have died, and there's like monuments to them now. Maybe it's just a graveyard of listening.
Yeah, I don't know. We should keep the ones that die up there as dead links.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah,
just to see what the mountain of corpses we've outlasted.
It's a memento mori. There's a shop and there's a newsletter sign up thing too. I mean, I'm not gonna twist your arm, but what else have you got going on? Huh? You listening to music or something?
That's lame. I remember 2004. I threw my iPod in the garbage. Is it my turn?
Yep.
I took it out of the garbage so I could listen to Nosebleeds. That's right. We have the privilege of purveying their song Bread for Breakfast as our theme song. You heard it throughout the episode. You can find more great tunes from them on their Spotify, for example. Nosebleeds, one word. Didn't you know that? I didn't before. I had to think about it every week, but now I'll never forget it. I hope you don't either. I got a review to finish this out.
Let's hear it.
This one is from Amazon for the McCormick Culinary Bacon Flavored Bits, 3.5 pounds, one 3.5 pound container of plant-based bacon bits for toppings on salads, soups, potatoes, vegetarian dishes, and more.
Let's go.
It is like a cafeteria industrial pail of bacon bits here.
Oh, boy.
Where you just unlid the top and you can really just dust several trays of things that need bacon bits, I guess. Anyway, Michael Nelson titles their review, Second Time Buying This, Good Value Overall. I have many uses for this, but most recently, I've been using it on my cheeseburger with chili on top. This product is fresh and it's plant-based, so it's safe for almost anyone. 4 stars.
Dude, I actually kind of almost made it sound good. But chili on a burger? Holy what?
A chili cheeseburger, but you can put the bacon bits on because they're vegetarian. It's like putting lettuce on it, basically.
Yeah.